This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Mark Murphy, co-host, and also with Providence Business News.
Hi there, Dave.
Well, the work continues to get some 20 acres of prime property in downtown Providence ready for development. It's the land made available by the relocation of I-195. The I-195 Redevelopment Commission is responsible for this project. Our guest is Commission Chair Colin Kane. Thanks for rejoining us. People have asked me, there's supposed to be development going on this property, yet I see no cranes. So what's happening? It's all underground still, right?
Dave, Mark, thank you very much for having me and the opportunity to provide an update. There's a lot of things going on that are unseen to the eye. There is roughly $40 to $45 million of subterranean development occurring downtown on the west side of the river and just started on the east side of the river, which is the reconnection of the city streets, the reconnection of sewer, water service, telecom service, electrical service, gas service, all of those component pieces that were broken in half in the early 50s when 195 was originally built.
Now, you're going into a century or more of heavily developed area. What are some of the major engineering and environmental challenges doing that?
All of the 195 district was and has been active industrial, part of the original Port of Providence going back 300 years. We have done extensive due diligence with our partners at DEM, Coastal Resources, and DOT. And indeed, we have contaminated soils. We had an old gasification plant. Nothing, though, that is unusual in a northeast city and can't be contended with relative to building on the site.
Does that mean that the uses of the land are in one way or another limited in terms of what can happen there?
Not at all. In fact, looking to our partners at Department of Environmental Management and Coastal Resources specifically, and Narragansett Bay Commission, who manages the sewer system here in the state, we've worked with them for the past 18 months to fully permit the site. We'll be the first place in the state of Rhode Island where you can have a joint permit issued through Coastal Resources and DEM. And instead of an 18-month turnaround, a 30 to 45-day turnaround. And the purpose of those permits is to protect health and safety of human beings so that all of the sites are completely buildable and would be built to a very high standard, probably, quite frankly, Mark, cleaner than your backyard.
Are you using a particular model for doing this, for this whole project? First of all, going underground and taking care of that complex situation. Are you breaking new ground, so to speak? Are you copying something that's been done in another city?
There are a number of examples in the private development community as well as in municipalities elsewhere where the land has been made or rendered pad ready. Pad readiness means that the utilities, the infrastructure, the streetscape is in place, that permits are easily attained, that the physical constraints and the economic opportunity of the dirt is understood before it goes to market. So the model that we're following is the thoughtful business model of appropriately sequencing and being ready to go to market, which will occur very quickly here in the first quarter of 2014.
So when do you see the various pieces of the project being completed?
The roads and infrastructure, which are the last piece of completing this extraordinarily successful I-Way project, the relocation of Interstate 195. The downtown improvements will be complete, including all sidewalks, street furniture, lights, sewers, water, et cetera, this time next year, so in 2014. The realignment of South Water Street, the improvements to South Main Street will be done in the summer of 2015, and then the linkage between the parks that we're creating on both the west and east side of the river will be complete in spring of 2016. But these improvements will come in phases, so pieces will be completed along that path that I described.
Now, could you see development of the developable spots? And one thing to remember is it's about the total land area is close to 40 acres, but only because of streets and other odds and ends, it's only really 20 acres that are going to be developed. Is that right?
It is 20 acres, and that 20 acres runs a linear mile. It starts on the west side along Interstate 95, and it goes all the way to the bottom of Wickenden Street. So what's interesting about it, 20 acres, but 20 very different acres. Some acres you could build a house on, some acres we could build 500,000-square-foot research laboratory. So it's a very diverse set of acreage because it's effectively infill amongst existing uses. If you think about that highway, it split the city. It's only 20 acres, and I'm quoting with my fingers, but 20 acres in an urban setting like this supports up to 3 million square feet of building fabric. So only 20 acres, basically we can add another third of a city of Providence in the 195 district.
So can development, once the, you know, at what point can we expect to see private development sort of cranes showing up to start digging? Do they have to wait for all of the pieces to be done? Can they start when some are done? Can they start even before some are done?
The planning process can certainly start before the subterranean improvements are complete. We know where the sewers are going. We know where the electrical service is going. The practical reality of vertical construction, and we're hoping that we get significant vertical construction, the planning process to go vertical takes 18 to 24 months. Yes, we will begin to contemplate proposals, I'm optimistic, in 2014, but to actually see cranes in the sky is more of a function of how long it takes to design and engineer a building than it is anything that the commission is doing.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, and our guest is Colin Kane, Commission Chair of the I-195 Redevelopment Commission. Mark, I think you had another question.
As much land and as much potential as you have in the 195 land, there's actually, you're sitting right next to a pretty big project that you have no input or control over, right?
Well, we are neighbors to the South Street Station, the Dynamo House, which is where electrical power was generated for the city of Providence for a century. Brown University, Rhode Island College, and the University of Rhode Island have been working on a combined Brown, URI, and RIC facility that would house the nursing program as well as administrative offices for Brown, incubator space, some retail space. Quite frankly, it's an extraordinarily exciting opportunity to fill that hole along our river and catapult the 195 district into the market, because we have all of those bodies, all of that intellect, all of that activity on our riverfront, in my mind, catalyzes the opportunities for the 195 district.
And it also would include an apartment building as well, right? So the residential units for medical students, for perhaps nursing students and others.
That's right. And so close to Point Street, the graduate housing, a significant amount of graduate housing is proposed, again, activating our city, not on just a work day, but on an 18-hour day or a 24-hour day where we have people both living and working in our city, I think catalyzes the area.
In going underground, back into history, as it were, have you come into any archaeological challenges, any finds going on? Is there any inspection process that needs to be done there?
Well, I keep walking out on the sites, David, looking for a pot of gold buried in one of these trenches. But the truth is, it is a highly complex physical set of improvements. And the archaeological stuff that you run into is what you don't want to run to: old water pipes, old gas mains that are dead-ended, old foundations that were not removed when roads were built. So, again, very much a credit to our partners at DOT, National Grid, Providence Public Works. They are managing through these infrastructure improvements around old, old infrastructure.
And no old environmental challenges, no old sources of pollution that you found so far?
Well, we found them, and they're well understood. We've tested down to bedrock, both the water table and water quality as well as the soil. And the truth is that it's not that bad as it relates to typical urban use, especially a place that had active plating operations on it before the highway.
You actually bring another question forward. You said hitting bedrock. So is it rock under there? Is it sandy soil? Is it how tall could a building be?
Well, another great question, Mark. Again, it's a linear mile that runs from the highway down to the river. As we get close to the river, the water table is about 3 or 4 feet below the top of the surface. So there are limitations along the river's edge and on some of those properties as it relates to structural conditions. For example, you can't put parking under a building as you get close to the river because it's so very expensive. You'd have to create a bathtub effectively to keep the water table out. As we get closer to College Hill, up the hill, if you would, and closer to the highway, the conditions of the dirt are more practical relative to going vertical.
Okay, thanks. Our guest has been I-195 Redevelopment Commission Chair Colin Kane. Thanks for coming back and discussing the project.
Mark, Dave, thank you for your interest, and we're happy to come back at any point. Thank you.
Thanks again to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
Great as always, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.